Friday to you. From our studios high above Columbus and Wecker Drive, it's me, Anna D., Anna DeVlantis, here on WGN. So is this true? Is it possibly true? I'm hearing that there are some people here in the Chicago area, some, maybe you, who have actually seen the sun today, or like a little bit of the sun today. It's peeking through the clouds in some areas. I do not, downtown, it is far too cloudy here.
Remind me, what's it look like?
Yeah, it's been 8-9 days.
Who told you this, Anna?
Well, there's someone in Yorkville who has actually sent a picture, so thank you for that. If you're seeing the sun, or you saw the sun, and you have proof of seeing the sun, we'd like to see your picture. We'd like to know where you are. 312-981-7200. It's really incredible. But I guess Sunday we're going to get that relief, right? We're going to get to see some sunshine. Might even be a record high temperature on Sunday. I was looking at the WGN TV forecast, the Tom Skilling forecast, that is, the forecast. And yeah, they're calling for a high of 51 degrees, which would be a record. And tons of sunshine. Tons of sunshine. So be a beautiful day, and that's going to be really, really cool to see that. Because you're right, Steve, what does it look like? Have we forgotten? It's been a pretty cloudy January for sure.
But warm. The clouds keep it warmer, so that we've got that going for us.
Great, great point. And the sun comes out Sunday, and so will the groundhog. The groundhog, the weather rodent this year, is going to compete with the Super Bowl for attention. Good luck to the weather rodent on that. We'll see what happens there. Here's a fun fact for you. We mentioned this earlier, G. See if it surprises you. 17 million workers will miss work calling sick on Super Bowl on Monday after the Super Bowl. The whole Super Bowl-itis thing. One of those, right?
I'm already feeling a little ill right now. So highest, just warning you.
Highest ever. Yeah, you kind of got to forewarn your coworkers so it seems a little more real, right? Like, oh man, a little throat problem. I'm going to get home a little early today.
not feeling good.
I don't know if I'll make my Super Bowl party or not. Harris Poll actually surveyed people, and I don't know what's different about this Super Bowl year. Maybe just the two teams have great storylines and, you know, big fan. I really don't know what to make of it, but they're predicting this year the most ever will call in sick with the Super Bowl fever. An additional 11 million will use a vacation day or approved day off for Monday. That's pretty interesting. Just a pro tip for you. If you do pull a Ferris Bueller and miss Monday, don't post anything on Instagram of you like shopping downtown or, you know, doing like your thing, because bosses do now look at that. HR departments do take a look at that to see what you're up to. This is great, too. So the students, speaking of being off on Monday, and we've heard many times, should we make it a national holiday? Should it just be a day off? I don't know. I know the lost productivity is always an issue every year. This year, more than others, apparently. But listen to what the students are doing at University of Kansas. They passed a resolution. Their student body did. They have their student council, I should say, to get all classes canceled on Monday. Here's the pitch. So the Senate passed the resolution that the Kansas City Star is reporting this last night, asking the school to cancel classes on Monday. The student Senate body would be woefully negligent of its duty to represent the student body by not advocating for a concern of students, given the inevitability of celebrations that may occur should the Kansas City Chiefs emerge victorious. And then it goes on to talk about health and safety risks. Would not only be exasperated by the continuation of classes less than 12 hours after said victory, there's also a request for barf bags. They want barf bags put all over the... This is the deal. They say that they need barf bags just kind of put all over the campus, kind of like you would put doggy bags kind of thing. They said after the Kansas City Royals won the 2015 World Series, it was a nightmare.
Okay, I get it now.
Yeah, that's what they're saying.
Oh, that's no good.
Yeah. No, it's a terrible visual.
That's not good that's an issue.
Yeah, it's. I hate to say this is the quote, people were vomiting in their backpacks after the Royals won, so this is a health issue. It's the way they pitch it. And they actually sent copies of that resolution to the school administrators, as well as the Chiefs front office and Coach Andy Reid and quarterback Patrick Mahomes. He got a copy, too. So that's a thing. I wonder, you know, here's the problem. Do you call in sick the Monday after the Super Bowl? Doesn't everyone sort of doubt those calls, right? Doesn't your coworkers who have to kind of do your work sometimes for you, and then the bosses, they're sort of like, what, really, really? And then if you really are sick... Imagine you really are sick. No one believes you, right?
I think we should, you should take some calls today from people that are planning to call in sick on Monday just to find out.
We are getting some texts here.
How do they plan to plan this out?
So call us if you're taking a day off. Let's say you want to take a day off on Monday, that you do that. That's your thing. A lot of people push for the Saturday. They say Saturday would be an awesome day to host the Super Bowl. Why wouldn't we just do it on a Saturday? You got plenty of time to recover. Mm-hmm. You know, the parties tend to end late. Then you got travel time. You know, it seems like it would make sense. Roger Goodell has weighed in on this. I think it was last year when he's tried to put it to rest. And he said, it's not going to happen. The TV ratings on Sunday night are monster. For some reason, he seems to be glued to the Sunday, even though for most people, I think the Saturday makes a lot of sense. A lot of sense. Please let us know, too, if you're texting in your pictures of sun, and we're getting a few of them, and thank you for those, 815 included, where you are, so we can tell people where the sun was sighted, and maybe if it's a recent picture, somebody wants to see the sun. So we don't like to see the sun.
Yeah, somebody saw some sunshine at Lawrence and Elston from the 847.
Oh, mm-hmm. Lawrence and Elston, right here mm-hmm. in the city.
Yeah.
How about that? There is no sign of it. None right here.
I've worked at this radio station a long time, and people would always call with their snow. It's snowing in Elgin.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first time I've ever heard someone call saying it's sun shining on the northwest side.
It's like we've missed it that much. But, you know, Sunday, I think, is going to make up for it. Just that forecast just seems beautiful.
Don't put too much, and don't hold too much stock in it, because it'll be crushing. Are you kidding me?
Don't jinx it.
Why will it be crushing?
If it turns out to be 38 and cloudy on Sunday after we're counting on 51 and sunny.
But won't everyone be inside watching the Super Bowl and pregaming?
That's not until almost 5 o'clock or after 5, I think.
You can enjoy most of the day before the Super Bowl parties
begin. You're
going
to be cooking and preparing.
I'll be hosting and preparing and making my chili, but I'm going to do it with the windows open if it's 51. That's for sure.
From the 312, the sun was out for a brief glorious minute at around noon in Cicero.
Cicero, too. How about that? Lucky you. Get to see the sun today. How cool. One-stop shopping if you want to see the Super Bowl ads and all of the ones that have been released. You know how they release them all early now. They get a lot more attention that way. Adweek has them all. One of the spots. I just went there and checked them out there so you can look at them. Anybody have a favorite so far that they've seen? Anybody look at any of them? I know there are two political ads this year. There's the Trump campaign has an ad, and you've got Bloomberg. Both of them spending over $10 million for those ads that will air during the Super Bowl. You've got the WeatherTech dog. I know John Williams was talking about that earlier. And there's a really cool Snickers ad, too. I wonder if, do we have, hey, Jazz, do we have a little bit of that Snickers ad to play for people? It's the one that kind of stands out in terms of just sort of making fun of all of us at the same time. But it's an uplifting ad. It's really cool. Let's listen to it.
Grown men ride scooters. Everyone's texting dirty pics.
Babies named after produce.
Hi, Carol.
Robocalls up in the mix.
The world is out of sorts. We need to fix it quicker. We're gonna fix the world by feeding it Snickers.
So we're feeding the world with Snickers?
Yep.
Will it work?
Milk keeps getting reinvented.
Autocorrect is so demented.
All right, I think that's enough. But it's basically just talking about little things in life that get us going. You know, the things like milk choices in the grocery store.
I love naming babies after produce. That is so funny.
It just talks about the silly things we get ourselves uptight about. And then just everyone needs a Snickers and calm down. So it's kind of a cute one. It really is. More of you telling us where the sunshine is. Streeter, Illinois. A beautiful shot of the sun really peeking out from behind those clouds as well. So that's really cool. Thanks for those. Keep them coming. It's really nice to see, and hopefully we all will see it on Sunday, right? That's what we're looking forward to. And we also want to get to Mark Carmen, WGN Radio sports guy. Mark Carmen, he's down in Miami. He's part of our crew there, and he's going to tell us what's going on, the sights and sounds, see if he's had any celebrity sightings, and also talk about the halftime show, which I think is going to be really good this year, coming up on WGN Radio. I gotta tell you, I'm looking forward to the halftime show this Super Bowl Sunday. Here's how it ranks for me this year: halftime show, game, then the commercials. Now, some years it's commercials first, some years it's game first. Shakira and J-Lo, I think, are going to be really up there in terms of what we get to see at halftime. I don't know, could be wrong, but that's what I'm thinking. Mark Carmen has thoughts. He's in Miami. Mark Carmen of WGN Radio Sports. How's it going in Miami, Mark? How you doing?
And I got to tell you, this is not a terrible place to be.
I am not complaining one iota. It's wild Super Bowl week, right? I mean, there's MC Hammer. Oh, I get to talk to Martha Stewart. She's telling me how to make my bed. These things don't happen on a your standard February day.
Doesn't it feel like one out of three people is a celebrity when you're down there? The only time I've been to the Super Bowl was when the Bears were in Miami, same stadium. How many years ago now? It feels like forever. But you looked around, you're like, oh my gosh, everywhere you turned, it's the celebrities. Just they turn out if they're not involved in it in some kind of official way, they're just going to it.
Yeah, I mean, there's Hall of Famer Emmitt Smith. He broke Walter Payton's record. And there is a standard musician. Oh, we're talking to Lil Nas, who's hanging out and wearing a leather jacket and no shirt, which was a big-time look.
Are you going to try that look, Mark? Would you try that one?
And I don't know if I could pull that one off.
No.
I'd have to, my commitment to excellence would have to step up if I was going to go there. But the Super Bowl, it's the biggest sporting event of the year, right? I mean, it's not even remotely about the game. Like, I mean, I guess everybody knows that the 49ers are playing the Chiefs, and Joe Montana played for both, maybe. But everybody's having a party on Sunday, right?
Yeah, it's true. I'm having a party, the big fat Greek and Italian family all coming over. I'm going to make my chili and do the things I do. I mean, I love the whole event around it. It's just... one of the things that we do in our house is when it's a good halftime show, that everyone's dancing. The kids get up and they're dancing, and it's a ton of fun. It becomes like a little party at halftime. And then some years, not so much. It feels this year might be one of those years.
Yeah, I always get into it. Like, my favorites are, go back in the day when you get Madonna out there. I mean, come on. Who doesn't, or Janet or whoever? Like, it's just, the NFL, for everything that they do wrong, and there's a million things from, taking an hour for an instant replay and the game just keeps on getting longer and longer, and was it a catch, was it not a catch,
right?
They have understood for a long, long time that it is a spectacle, that it's, we want people to watch our game who don't care at all about football, and so this is something that they've done extremely well. And I was down in New Orleans for the national championship game, and I'm thinking, you mentioned the Bears playing here in Miami against the Colts, and I'm thinking, like, way back, like Super Bowl 20 and Walter Payton, and Jared Payton, by the way, of course, is down here too. And like, from where it was then, and it was huge back then, it's like 50 times more now. So, and it's also interesting, like, these... to see somebody like Martha Stewart walking around, and
do not ask her
about going to jail, but you can talk about anything else. And
is that what her people tell you? Is that what they say?
They did not want us hitting on the prison part of it, which lasted for, I guess she was in there for 5 months, and I wasn't planning on going there anyway, right? That was the number one I want to talk about, but she kind of was grossed out by me. Because we started talking about, bedding and whatnot, and, well, how often do you change your sheets, Mark? Well, I don't know, once every 2 weeks, Martha? That's disgusting. Millennials do it every 3 weeks, which is actually purely gross. Well, how often should I do it, Martha Stewart? Every 5 days. And then people are tweeting at me back saying, like, that's not good for the environment every 5 days. So you can't win in this world, right?
Take that. And, tell her about the environment next time you see her. Yeah,
right. But
what
she was, friendly, and Katie Kirk was walking by today. It's like, what do you have to do with football? Nothing, right? I mean, I'm sure she's interviewed a million athletes. But
it's fascinating because 65. I want to ask you about fans in general, because the 65,000 lucky people are there. They're saying this is one of the more expensive years to go to the Super Bowl. That the prices really are kind of crazy. They always are, but this year in particular. Why do you think that is, Mark?
Well, there's a lot of money out in San Francisco, right? And the 49ers haven't been here for a while. So that's part of it. And the Chiefs were, we're talking 40-plus years. So I think there is a certain amount of, Kansas City love that's going on here that has been long, long, long overdue. And I guess you want to throw Patrick Mahomes on top of it. You got the best player in football playing here. By the way, he could have been a Bear. I don't know if anyone's mentioned that in Chicago.
No, I can't imagine. And didn't Jimmy Garoppolo have a chance of being here at some point? Was that even a possibility?
That's true. That's a great point, Anna. He absolutely was. He was sitting there, and Bill just decided to trade him to San Francisco. But, you know, another thing with Miami, as far as, like, Super Bowl cities, it's more affordable, not the cheapest, but it's more affordable than most, right? And there's three airports you can fly into here, so you're going to get a flight that's affordable. And so I think partly that impacts maybe the ticket price. More people feel like they can get here and get a room and make it work, and people want to come to Florida, so that's probably boosting up the ticket price too.
You know, they say 4,000 was pretty much the lowest. 4,200 was the lowest one that was on StubHub and one of the other ticket centers. So that was the lowest, the rock bottom lowest. And they said all in, it would cost you at least $6,000 if you just kind of did the cheap route of getting the cheapest plane tickets and the cheapest hotel and the cheapest ticket. It's $6,000. And then they have this 30. I don't know if you've seen these yet, but I was just on CNBC's site, and they featured these $35,000 seats in the first section that are kind of like recliners, like your lazy boys, right up there on the 50-yard line. I think it's on the Chiefs side, and they're $35,000. They're just, I mean, it's like outrageous how much people spend to go to this game. It's one
day. It's good to have money, right?
I mean, you'd have to.
If you can afford to do it, and you look at it like it's the once in a lifetime thing, and I'm going to take my son or my daughter or my wife or my husband or whoever, and you're a big football fan, I guess you can somehow rationalize that it's worth it. I kind of look at it, that's crazy. But you know, if you go back in Chicago time when the Cubs went to the World Series, in 2016, seats were so expensive.
Sure.
And I think to sit in any real premium spot, it was like 10 grand a seat. But I remember that those were the prices for the ones down low.
Yeah.
And maybe 4,000 up top. If they ever get there again, I don't think it'll be quite the same. But that, you know, so people, there's something about being in the stadium, I guess. I mean, maybe I'm a little spoiled because we could, you know, do it a lot. I would never, ever, 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 ever consider paying that for a ticket unless I knew I was leaving the planet. And, you know, somebody close to me really, really, really wanted to go, then I'd be like, okay, fine, maybe. But hey, getting back to the money part, if you can afford it, good for you.
Yeah, and Bears fans, I think, you know, some of us would pay for that, I suppose, if they were there when they get there next. I hope it's very soon, but we'll see. Mahomes and Garoppolo, the quarterbacks, are a big focus here. I saw kind of on the media row, everybody, you know, oh my gosh, the buzz around this Mahomes. I mean, it's always been great, but now he's at the big game. It's huge. And I saw one of his coaches actually talking. It feels like either they're drinking a lot of Kool-Aid or this guy is like one of the most special players ever to play in the NFL. They're saying he's like Brady and Breeze and Favre all rolled into one, and that he's actually better. He could be better.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's third year in the league. Yeah, no, well, there's an enormous amount of Kool-Aid. It's his third year in the league, right? Second year as a starter. He's already won the MVP. He's thrown 50 touchdown passes. He really has an opportunity, if he stays healthy, to go down as one of the all-time greats, if not the greatest, which is crazy to say. But that's really the path that he's on, Anna, which is, and obviously Sunday's, you know, a huge day for him if he gets his first Super Bowl ring and starts on that path. But this guy, Tom Brady, he won six of them, so that's, you know,
yeah,
that's not nothing. Yep. Long way to go. But we overvalue championships, Anna, just in my opinion. But at any rate,
you got to go. Mahomes is, you, I don't want to keep you any longer. You got an interview. Who's your interview with, Mark?
I am talking to a couple of Navy SEALs right now.
Oh.
And then we got Dak Prescott of the Dallas Cowboys coming up here. So,
all right,
the fun continues, Anna. Yeah, no big deal.
Thanks, Mark. Mark Harmon down in Miami for us. Thanks for checking in. Have fun down there. And thank you for letting us know your thoughts. 773, it makes sense to keep the Super Bowl on Sunday. It gives people Saturday to clean their house and prepare all the food. I hear you on that one. And then some other pictures of sunshine that is spotted all across our area today. Thanks for sending those pictures in as well. It's nice to see because we're not seeing it downtown. Something interesting going on this weekend that the sun might get in the way of on Sunday. It's the ice castles in Lake Geneva. I don't know if you've ever gone to this. I think this may be the second year. I had a friend who went to it and said it was spectacular, where you walk through all these ice castles and do this kind of thing. And it's pretty cool. We're going to hear from her in a second here. She's going to check in with us, let us know more about it. Sunday, though, it's kind of an issue for them because the ice castles can only go on if the weather is a certain temperature, and it has to be a low temperature. So this Sunday is reaching near record highs in the Chicago area and possibly up there in Lake Geneva, too. So they're kind of looking around to see, hey, are we going to be able to even do this on this, the opening weekend? More on that in a moment. And also, we've got the fine folks from Aurelio's Pizza. They're here. We're going to, it's their Super Bowl as well as the Super Bowl for the players. Think about working in the pizza business or all the restaurants that deliver our food, whether it's the chicken wings or whatever it is you order. These guys, it's a busy, busy weekend for them. So we're going to talk with them. Also coming up, a familiar voice here on WGN joins us later in the show. Andrea Darlis will be here and we'll talk with her. Some interesting things going on with some former Illini's, some alums in the news. She's going to talk a little more about that. And it as well, we're going to talk to Patrick Elwood from Channel 9. He's getting a big award for not what he does in television, but for his big, big heart. So all of that and much more coming up here on WGN. All right, we've been talking about Chicago connections to the Super Bowl. Jimmy Garoppolo, of course, the quarterback for San Francisco, hails from Arlington Heights. You've got Robbie Gould. You've got the kicker, of course, former Bear. And then this, I just kind of spotted this. There's a Rogers Park native who's also playing for San Francisco. Another Chicagoan, Lakin Tomlinson is his name, making his Super Bowl debut. He's number 75, hails from Rogers Park, right here on the far north side of the city. Born in Jamaica, eventually made his way to Chicago with a single mom and three siblings. And his mom's like, she's pretty big. I mean, he's pretty big. She walked her son, the story goes, over to Lane Tech High School and says, hey, we need to get him on the football team. And there we go. He's playing in the Super Bowl. Somebody else to root for. Pretty cool stuff. All right, we were talking also about the ice castles in Lake Geneva. This is on my list. I'd like to check it out. I hear it's incredible. Don't know if you heard about it. This is opening weekend, and I know it does sell out. It does fill up, so it's something if you want to put on your list, you do have to plan ahead. This Sunday may not be the best day for it. They're kind of keeping an eye on the weather. I know that warmer temperatures don't allow the ice castles to exactly flourish. In fact, the organizers over there are saying warmer temperatures can actually cause the floors of the castles to become slick. So they're going to monitor that and see what happens as far as Sunday. But if you're thinking about maybe making it part of what you want to do, bring yourself up there, yourself, family, bring a friend, whatever. Lynn was there, and Lynn, you're like the excellent salesperson for this because you told me about it over the weekend, and I was like, oh my gosh, got to check this out. It's super, super fun.
Yeah, it is. It's magical is a really good way to describe it. When we went at night, and so all the castles are lit from inside. With all these beautifully color-changing LEDs. So it's just really, it's something to behold, really. It's really interesting.
Yeah, like nothing else. I mean, it just seems like you get to walk through them, and you said there were some slides or something for kids.
Yeah, they have tunnels for kids to climb through. Adults can climb, crawl through, too. And then they have slides. They actually, last year it was much smaller because it was on the beach right on Lake Geneva. Uh-huh. This year they've moved it inland to another facility, and so they've made it larger. So there's more slides, there's more tunnels, there's more places to go. They actually have a concession stand this year for hot chocolate and fun stuff, but yeah.
Yeah, and so it's only in a couple of cities, and they chose Lake Geneva as one of them. It's not been around for that long, but it is something maybe you want to look. And you can go online and look for it, Ice Castles in Lake Geneva. It's really cool.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Lynn. Thanks for letting us know what's going on there, because I'm sold after I talk to you. I'm like, I got to go. So thank you. Have a good afternoon.
Yeah, you're welcome. Have a great time.
The fine folks from Aurelio's are here because you talk about it being the Super Bowl for the players, the people who have to play the game. Think about if you're working in the restaurant industry this weekend. Think about that for a second. If you're pizzas or wings or whatever your thing is, we've got Joe Caruso, the general manager of Aurelio's in the South Loop. Hey, Joe, how you doing? You ready for this weekend?
We are ready. We are ready. It's a big day for us. Aurelio's has been doing big day catering events for 60 years. And
60 years. How about that?
Since 1959, your family pizzeria, but we are ready for today, or for Sunday, rather.
Yeah, do you do anything? Do you do any warm-up exercise? I mean, what do you do in, like, the week, days
before? No stretches,
before?
Nothing like that. We stretch the dough a little bit, but that's about it. We are pretty much staff for big day. A lot of drivers. We run 10 to 12 pizza delivery drivers out of the South Loop. I'm sure the other locations will be staffed as well. But everybody works, everybody plays. It's a fun day in the kitchen, to be honest with you. It's, everybody's got a favorite team, is pulling for someone to win. But we are ready to go, and we suggest and encourage people to pre-order.
Pre-order. Okay, that's probably a good idea, especially if you want a ton of pizzas or a ton of food. I don't know. It's a hard thing to pull off at the last minute.
Right. Most of the orders are large, and unlike other big days, Mother's Day, for example, you know, there's a short window of opportunity. Most of your business comes within that 3 to 6 window. So you get a solid 3 hours, and you have to be ready, or else execution will suffer.
I can't even imagine what it's like to be in the kitchen when the Super Bowl orders are pouring in for you guys. I mean, you're saying it's fun. I would think it's madness.
It's organized chaos. Our staff is in their original Aurelio's red T-shirts, and it's a sea of red back there. But it's a lot of fun. You know, the kitchen is putting out salads, large trays. Most of the food is large trays. Large trays of salad, large trays of wings. There's other appetizers that are on people's list, but the pizza is the star of the show.
Okay, the pizza is. So more pizza sold than wings, even though wings, I think, is the number one when you look at the top 10 Super Bowl foods, either ordered or consumed. It's the wings, but you guys, you're known for your pizzas. Let's be honest.
Our pizza, obviously 60 years, originated in Homewood, Illinois by Joe Aurelio, and the family runs it now, and they're just great people to work for. And but the pizza is the star of the show, but we'll put out you know, a couple hundred orders of wings. We'll put out at least 100 trays of salad, not counting other appetizers, pastas. But it's primarily wings, salad, and obviously pizza. And the average order on a pizza, you're going to see 4 or 5 pizzas on a ticket.
Mm-hmm. Each delivery. Because the parties. You're servicing the parties.
Right. And really, when you think you've got at least 200 deliveries and, you know, 100 pickups.
How do you keep calm before this whole thing? Are you doing, like, yoga or something,
you know,
Joe? Like, what, I don't picture you as a yoga guy. I don't mean to make a judgment.
No, it's all right.
But I'm just wondering what you do to kind of get in that, you know, that mode, that game day mode.
You got to be set a week before. You've got to be have your staff lined up. You've got to have your prep list ready. And it's all about staffing, really, mm-hmm. and execution. But
you got good staff over there?
I got a great staff. You know, that's one of the reasons, you know, I used to work for Aurelio's in college, and I was fortunate enough to be able to come back because, you know, the family treats you so great, you know, and they value their employees, and that trickles down to the customer, and it's a great place to work. But we are definitely ready.
Okay, what's his story? The gentleman who founded Aurelio's? Is he
1959? And he found it in Homewood, Illinois, on Ridge Road. It was a little
there's one there.
Three table restaurant, and you know, he, from what I understand, he was the cook, the pizza maker, the dishwasher, the delivery boy, and just treated it. You know, was very customer service focused.
Yeah, so that's value continued. Driven.
And that's continued, and the you know, the family that runs it now are just as committed to the. To the quality and the value of the food and the customer service.
Right, that's cool. And I bet there are generations of Chicagoans who've just been, I mean, you're there for that many years. That's just how it goes. You got your pizza place and you go there and then your kids go there.
The brand is so solid and well-known. When we opened in the South Loop in 2015, it was amazing, the response we got from people who grew up on the pizza. Their parents grew up on the pizza. They want to introduce the pizza to their kids. You know, for 60 years, being a family pizzeria, you have a great customer base and a great following. And then, in addition, that location, you know, you're exposed to the tourists of Chicago. So you're introducing Aurelio's Pizza to a whole new worldwide generation.
So what do they say when they come from other cities, other countries?
Not a problem.
They're like, this is
hands
great.
Down,
send
great
this
pizza.
To us somewhere.
Great
How do we
pizza.
Get this?
And we do deliver.
You deliver
dry
where?
Ice, all over the country.
Oh, did not know that about Aurelio's.
Just call the Homewood store. And,
okay. So like many other fine pizzas here in Chicago and pizza makers, it's just one of those things you just can't get in other cities. And if you move away or something, you crave it. You got to get it.
Right. We're in 6 states, but we can go anywhere in the country.
That's so cool. What's the number one ordered pizza, top pizza? That
I would say number one is pepperoni.
Just straight pepperoni. Just cheese straight, and pepperoni. Right.
Now, we have a great vegetable pizza that I brought along. It's tomato,
I saw
spinach,
that.
And mushroom. It's
and you
our
do
most
that,
popular.
You do a thinner crust.
Thin crust, it, nice and crispy.
Oh, but it's crispy. Yeah. That's the thing. The crust is the thing that is the signature of a good pizza. Do you have some fun facts for us here today, Joe? We've got some here.
You
Super
know?
Bowl Sunday is the busiest day of the year, and this shouldn't surprise you. How many pizzas are ordered every single Super Bowl Sunday. I guess that's what this is about.
You know, I think it's over 2 million. Is that
correct? It's 12.5. I thought you had it over there. I guess you guys handed it to me. 12.5 million pizzas are ordered just on Super Bowl Sunday. And you're saying it's all between 3 and 5.
The bulk of it is between 3 and 6. They want it either for pregame or for halftime.
Yeah. No one orders really. Oh, they order for halftime as well.
Right.
Is that a replenishment, do you think?
Maybe they're done with their snacks and they're going to a really old pizza.
Gone through the guac and the salsa, maybe the wings. Right. And they're like, all right, we need something heartier here. These people are drinking. We need to absorb some of that alcohol, maybe. That may be an issue in some places, not all. What about we got the 1.3 billion chicken wings consumed, washed down with 325 million gallons of beer. And the average person consumes 2,400 calories. There's nothing like
just
a post-Super
during the game,
just
during the game. Right? And our pizza is, it's healthy.
It's fat-free and very high. That's what I tell myself when I eat it. And 2,400 calories. Yeah, that's during the game.
Just during the game.
During the game. But that's why you sleep so well after the Super Bowl.
You know, I saw the last item on that list. Mm-hmm. How many people call in?
I think it's higher than that. I just saw a Harris poll. I was talking about it at the top of the show. Harris did a survey of people and said this year it's going to be more than usual calling in sick. I'm not sure I understand exactly why that is or what the reasoning is, but they surveyed people, said that this year 17 million people will call in sick on Monday. 11 million will take an approved day off and just sort of say, hey, I need this day to recover.
Right.
So it is.
I'll tell you, our really old staff comes to work the next day.
And they come to work on Super Bowl Sunday, too. Right. So God bless them, because then we get to all eat.
Loyal fans at loyal employees at Aurelio's.
Awesome. Joe Caruso, thank you. Thanks for sharing the Aurelio story. Thanks for talking about your Super Bowl and what it is for restaurant workers on that day as well. It's a big, big day. So good luck out there. And thanks for the pizza.
Thank you very much.
More to come here on WGN Radio, including one of my friends, Patrick Elwood. You know him from Channel 9 and the work that he does there. But he's being recognized for his big heart and what he's doing away from television. And we're going to talk more about that coming up. A good friend of mine has just stepped into the studio here. You know him from Channel 9, Patrick Elwood, an amazing reporter. Does an awesome job covering the news and has for so long. We've worked together at a station. We've worked at competing stations. But you're well-respected, I think is fair to say, Pat, and always love seeing you. But you're here for something else. You're here for not television work or reporting work. You're here because you're receiving a humanitarian award, and it's for such a well-deserved reason. And I want to spotlight some of the things you've donated and devoted your life outside of television to, in order to, talk about why it is you're receiving this award. First of all, I heard you were pretty surprised to get it.
I was blown away. You know, we're used to telling stories, not necessarily being in the spotlight, but shining the light on others. And so this is the Little Company of Mary Hospital Venerable Mary Potter Humanitarian Award. It's also great to see you. I haven't seen you
nice
in person
you
since
too,
the Sox
Pat.
Opener last year.
Oh, is that the day? I forgot. I'm like, wait.
I've forgotten all the scurrilous details. It's all good.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Mm-hmm. We're not going to mention those here. Keep
so,
that
yeah, so it's basically about giving back to the community. And I was a little reluctant because, as I just mentioned, but then we kind of thought about it. My wife and I, we worked our way through. It's really about Big Tent We, many of us who participate in these charitable causes that I'm very close to, the St. Baldrick's Foundation, and another foundation called React, and we can get a little into that a little bit more.
St. Baldrick's, we associate you so closely with that. For years now, you go on television and you shave your head and you do the whole thing and you get everybody going to gain attention or bring attention to St. Baldrick's, a really amazing organization. Talk about a little more what they do.
So St. Baldrick's is a mythical figure. St. Patrick's, what happens when you go through chemo and radiation, you go bald. So they combined those terms there. It was started by these reinsurance guys out east to do something around St. Patrick's Day instead of just, revel and party it up.
Hmm.
So what they did was they created this drive and they raised money and it spread essentially east to West Coast. 15 years ago, long story short, our seminar editor says, go out to Tinley Park, interview this little girl or family. There's some first responders who are shaving their heads to raise money for this organization. And it goes to kids' cancer research and protocols across the country in 8 hospitals here in town.
Okay.
So I see this little girl. Her name is Jordan Pickering. She's 5 years old at the time. She's going through her second bout of leukemia.
Mm.
My kids are about that age. And, her mom is a nurse, going to shave her head. And she turned to me towards the end of the interview and she's like, are you going to shave your head? And, you know, I mean, some people on TV, the hair is the holy grail kind of thing,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you don't mess with the hair. Very hairsprayed in the television industry, I've heard.
And it was an epiphany. I said, you know, yeah, what the heck? Why not? Why am I here? What am I doing? So in the service of others. So I did it, and then it just kind of grew. We enlisted some schools in the area, high schools, grammar schools. It's an easy sell, Anna, because everybody knows somebody who has cancer. And when then you throw in the kid equation, yeah. So people take pledges to shave their heads. Mm. Moms and dads love it because it's a nice haircut, right?
Easy to style every day.
It really is. And it kind of gives people, the kids, adults, a sense of more than just themselves.
Sure. Yeah.
So, do you want me to carry it through to the whole?
Yes. Well, yeah. I think let's connect those dots, because this, it's not just everyone's known you for doing that. But then you also have been involved in other organizations because they've hit close to home for you since that date back then when you were
right.
trying to connect with this mother and her child. Since then, you, some of the organizations you've got involved with have actually hit close, very close to you.
Correct. So, two things, the St. Baldrick's thing, you know, 5 years ago, my daughter is not feeling well. Something's going on, and she's eventually diagnosed with a brain tumor. Mm-hmm. And she has a tumor on her pituitary. I don't want to give out too much because she's a young adult right now,
yeah.
entitled to her privacy.
Sure.
So we go to the great folks at Children's Lurie, and you know, a couple of visits in there, the neurosurgeon and his nurse says, you know, we want to thank you. We want to thank you for what you've done. And we're like, okay. And he's like, some of the money that you have raised has gone to advance our treatment and protocols on the surgery that my daughter was about to receive.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
So, talk about things coming full circle.
I mean, karma. You get what you give and you give what you get. So so she had a great, you know, recovery. And she has what's called Cushing's disease. And then last year it reared its ugly head again. So she had to have another tumor removed from her pituitary. She's doing good. There's a high recidivism rate, return rate for this kind of a thing. So we'll see. Mm-hmm. She's amazing. She's gotten into some great schools. She's a senior in high school. She's concentrating on college.
Awesome.
Got some Big Ten schools on the horizon. Dad hopes. Well, I'm a Big Ten guy.
I am too.
Yeah, so exactly. Mm-hmm. So we'll see what that brings. So that, and then the other thing you were referring to is what we call REACT. And about the time of
REACT. So is that an acronym?
It's an REACT. It stands for Ryan Elwood Awareness, Counseling, and Training.
Okay.
About soon, not soon, long after Calista's first round, my nephew, his name is Ryan Elwood. So he's 28 years old at the time. He's a hometown firefighter, lieutenant, and out of the blue, honest to God, you know, he commits suicide.
Mm, I'm so sorry, Pat.
So, you know, it's still hard to mouth those words.
I mean, everything I've heard, I saw your wife had talked about how he was this fun-loving
life of the party.
Firefighter who just, like, was
completely
just happy-go-lucky, and it's so... Obviously, suicide beyond stunning in any circumstances, and this one, no one saw it.
And that's the postcard to all of this. Nobody sees this stuff coming. Mm-hmm. First responders they help other people, right?
Right.
Not used to asking for help. And then, you know, they hide. When you're going through that whole mental stuff, you hide a lot, right? You get good at hiding stuff. And we'll never know. We'll never know why he did that.
Mm-hmm.
But we decided as a family, look, we cannot let this go in vain. So we started this foundation to raise money and awareness for first responders, cops, firefighters, nurses, etc. You know, they do some of the stuff 99% of us cannot do, and they do it on a daily basis. So we're just trying to raise some money and awareness for these folks to, you know, help us only one phone call away.
Mm-hmm.
We've put money towards the, down in Champaign, the Illinois Fire Institute, which goes towards training and recognition by peers that somebody's having a hard time. It's okay to say, I'm not okay, right? More first responders die from suicide every year than they do in the line of duty.
There's been an unbelievable number this year, and last year, I should say last year, because we're in a new year. of police and firefighters in the Chicago area. And you saw that campaign by then Superintendent Eddie Johnson and the new the money and the programs that they're trying to encourage the rank and file to go to and everybody to go to. Because Eddie Johnson talked himself very candidly in that PSA that they put out about how we all deal with this at one point. Think about what we see every day. Think about what we do every day. Think about how taxing that type of work can be. And then cumulatively over time, doing it over and over again for years and years and years, it has an impact on you. It's okay to say it. It's okay to talk about it. It's there at some point, you would think, for almost everybody. So why is it nobody's getting help? And it's for the reasons you just suggested.
Yeah.
Strong, independent people used to helping other people, not always taking care of themselves.
There's also this stigma, rightly or wrongly, that especially on the job, they're somewhat reluctant to go to somebody on the department level because they're afraid that they're going to be marked into this column.
Right.
And they're not going to be trusted, or there's always going to be that some misgivings about what this individual may or may not do. So they don't want to do that. So we're trying to find an outlet for them so they could talk to somebody off of the job, somebody who's retired, you know, has been there, done that, and they can help these folks out. I'm telling you, just one phone call. Meet them, have coffee, talk to them in the middle of the night, whatever it takes.
Somebody who's been there on their job, is that the idea of the whole thing? Somebody's kind of done that work.
Or a copper, or, you know, been spent years in the emergency room seeing this stuff. So that's really relatable. But it's not necessarily going through the official department ranks. Now, people want to do that too, whatever.
Sure.
That works. If it works for them, fantastic. But we're just offering them an alternative.
Yeah, and what a great idea. Has it been well utilized? Do you feel that there's a...
It's spreading. You know, it takes, like anything else, you got to scream it 100 times before maybe, 50 people will take notice. So we're going to keep going. Mm-hmm. You know, just, it's our life's work now. And hopefully, even if you can save one person.
Oh, gosh.
It's worth it.
Where do people go, Pat, since you are talking about needing to get the word out every way you can? Where do people do?
Two websites. Go to, one. The other one, stbaldricks.org, separate, different. React is react4ryan.com, react4ryan.com.
And that's the counseling and training that you
talked about.
It's the
website. Well, check it out. There are different events we could go to. We'll come out and talk to your department, whatever the case may be. There's many different ways to approach this.
Yeah. And it's anonymous.
Yes.
Totally anonymous.
Completely.
If you do reach out and you do this, there's nothing, there's no mark on your record. Nobody, not that it does anyway, the internal stuff, but this may be the pure outsider that you're looking for.
Exactly.
Situation like
and,
that.
And, you're my WGN colleague, and I know that you know that our bosses and colleagues are so supportive of these efforts.
The best. The everybody comes out.
Yeah.
So you got to continue to let us know when things are going on so we can put out the word.
I will.
Congrats on the humanitarian
so
award.
You.
Nice to see you, too. And God bless
so
you and your family.
And talented, and you are just one of Chicago's very own.
Well,
you are awesome.
And same goes at you. Best to your family.
Thank you.
Thanks for sharing your story. I think that you're helping a lot of people, Pat. So, God bless.
These are really swanky studios.
Yeah.
I know
what
where all the money's going now at WGN.
Yeah, come on over here and hang out with us a little
moly.
More. We have free pizza, too. Do you get free pizza? I bet you don't.
Oh, no. We don't get any of that. We get ramen.
Enjoy it. Bye, Pat. Good seeing you.
Bye.
Coming up here, much more at WGN Radio. We'll tell you what's coming up on the show at 2 o'clock and beyond. And then also the news that's coming up right here on WGN Radio from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Good to see my friend Patrick Elwood, and we're going to try to get those charities that he's involved with posted on the WGNRadio.com website. I know a number of you are asking, hey, how do I get in touch? What's St. Baldrick's? How do you spell it? What do we do? And we'll try to post that as part of that talk with Patrick. So I appreciate him sharing his story and all the people that he is helping in our community. It's really, he's a special guy, and it takes a guy like that to get some of that stuff done. So love you, Pat. Also, we had a comment about we've been mentioning Chicago connections to the Super Bowl. What about Nick Allegretti? He's a local guy, University of Illinois grad, and he's playing in the Super Bowl. We actually are going to talk about that. I added that to the list because Andrea Darlis, WGNer. You know her. You remember her. She's loved here in the hallways of WGN Radio. She is going to talk about University of Illinois people in the news, and we've added him to the list. So we've got an even longer list to talk to her about. It's Friday. It's Fun Friday. So we're talking about relationships coming up at 2 o'clock. Your love life or lack of. That's okay, too. Bella Gandhi from Smart Dating Academy is here. She'll talk about, she's got some ideas for you. And she is going to talk about dating after divorce or breakups or after you've been out of the game for a while. That's one of the things she will mention. Trending topics also coming up here on the show. So stay with us for that and continue to post your pictures of the sunshine. They're beautiful to see. Nice to see some people got a glimpse of the sun. But it doesn't count, though, by the way. We're just going to exclude you if you keep texting us your pictures from Florida. Florida, we know you have sunshine in Florida.
We're not going to exclude you. We're going to sock you in the face.
Yes, we're going to send you an evil text back, right? So, Steve, you right. Get on that. The pictures of people on the beach, okay? Enough of that. But here are the other ones. Thanks. We're coming up here on the news from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Back live in the Skyline Studios, this is Anna DeVlantis. Thanks for making us part of your Friday afternoon. Happy Friday. Happy Super Bowl Sunday weekend, too. We'll throw that one in there. We've got much more coming up on the show. Andrea Darlis will be joining us. Familiar voice, familiar face from Channel 9, but certainly her years and years here on the radio, here on WGN Radio. She's going to be here talking about some Illinois alums who are doing some really fantastic things. But we're also hearing from you as you tell us more and more people with Chicago connections in the Super Bowl this year. One of them, at least, with a U of I connection. We're going to get to that, too. And continue to send your sun pictures. Some people did, in fact, see the sun today after many days, over a week without seeing the sun. It came out. It peaked out in some areas. There was a sighting here in the city at Lawrence and Elston, I think. There have been some in the suburbs. We've got a number of people letting us know where they saw the sun. Does a little bit of sun count? Yes, it does, is the answer to that question. And here's a burst of sunshine. Bella Gandhi. How was that transition? Pretty good.
Oh, my God.
You are. You've got the energy. I mean, come on. You've got great energy. She's the founder of Smart Dating Academy, a company right here in Chicago. But you also see her on the national shows. You see her on the Dr. Phil's, the Kelly Clarkson last week or the week before I saw you. You see you on GMA and Today Show. You're everywhere, Bella. You are like the authority on this stuff because people like hearing it from you. That's the thing. You make it easy and simple, the whole dating thing.
I'm going to stay here all day long.
Stay put, okay? You got some time with us. We got a little bit of time here. So this is great. I'm happy you're here. And she'll take your questions for sure. So if you have a dating relationship type question, even if you're going back into the dating world, those are great questions. You deal with that all the time.
For sure. Even if you have toxic friendships, like whatever it is, we handle relationships. So lob your questions over the fence. We are here for you.
I love it. Okay, so this is a question that comes up. We've had several callers on this in the past, but it's worth revisiting because I think when you get, everyone knows where you can go if you want hookup sites. Let's be honest. Okay, those are obvious. We all, those, if you can find those are easy to find. People do find them, I'm told. And there are other places where if you're more serious about saying, hey, I'm either ready to get back into the dating pool or whatever, I just haven't found that person yet in my life or whatever. There are places to go if you're more serious about finding someone, and they are different. What do you tell your clients who come to you and say, you know, look, I'm really serious, but I'm just kind of afraid of that whole dating pool. I'm just afraid of these sites in general. Where do I go?
Change your mindset around this is what I would tell people. What I do tell people every single day, look at online dating as the world's largest cocktail party. Okay, now close your eyes and think about like 100,000 people shoved into Navy Pier, like into a huge cocktail party, right? There's going to be some of everybody there, right? There's going to be some people that are just there to hook up. There's going to be a lot of nice, normal people looking to date. And then there's going to be some people that are going to be awesome for you. The lids to your pot. So you have to start it out with the right mindset, number one.
Because that's a good point.
If you walk in saying, ugh, online dating is for creepy, icky people.
You're probably not ready.
I heard my Aunt Jackie talking about that. No, there's no way I'm doing that. No, you have to change your mindset because what you see is what you're going to get, ultimately. So, yes, you can
project that out there.
You project that out there, right? So if you want to take the leap into this, what I would tell you, but you're skittish, you're nervous, is get on a site, you know, like an OG, you know, kind of the original gangster online sites like Match or eHarmony. You know, look, it's about $1 a day to do this. It's way less than like a third of your grande coffee.
That's true. Just compared to the coffee prices. Great deal.
You know, and the thing is this, dating apps are free, but when you put that even teeny little barrier of $20 to $30 a month in there for a dollar a day, you weed out a lot of people that have no business being on dating sites. The riffraff.
We know who those people are,
we know who they are.
The married types who are seeing what's what and going out there, and then the others who just aren't serious about the whole thing. And then that's okay. If you're looking for that, that's fine. You know where to go. But if you are serious, that can be more daunting.
Good filter, you know, and that's not to say that everybody on there is perfect and ready for love. You are always going to have to sift for things. Heck, if you want to buy a new computer, you're going to have to go online and search and sift and shop and know what's good for you. And with love, you're going to have to put some time into this, guys. Look at yourself. Look at your relationships that haven't worked, right? And do that work to say, what do I want to do this time around? Because you know what will happen otherwise? You'll end up with the person that was just like your ex. Again and again and again.
Great point. Here's a good one. Do you mention you have kids in a profile? Is that a must mention item?
If you love your kids, you had best mention in your profile, because if someone has kids, most people want to know that. There are lots of people that are open to other people's kids, but some people, you know, especially when they're younger, they're like, yeah, you know what? I'm only 29. I don't know that I want to have someone else's kids with me right now. I just want to have my own. So put your kids in there if you have them. Just mention, you know what? There's nothing more important to me than my three kids. They're the light of my life. That's it. Now, anybody who doesn't want that can pass you by. Okay. You don't have to put your photos of your kids on there. No one needs to. You don't even want to put your kids in cyberspace, especially on a dating site.
So the other thing is, how honest are you really with the profile? I mean, how much do you get into what would you recommend leaving out?
Some sites like Match, for example, will ask you about your income level. If you don't tell your neighbors how much money you make, why on earth would you want to tell the interwebs how much money you make? So
people put their salaries?
They give you all these drop-down buttons to put your salary range.
But does that show up on the profile then?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
So don't fill that out. But other than that, fill out as much as you can. Number one, it takes some time to do it, but it also makes you look like you care and you're invested in your dating profile. And if someone else doesn't have much written in there, how much time have they put into it?
Yeah, good point. 847, is there a site that caters specifically to creative people? I seem to meet a lot of people in sales that I guess she doesn't really get along with, they don't understand people who are creative. As an artist and designer, it's critical. I don't know if that's a he or a she, but they're saying that that's the problem, is that I really like to meet creative people. That's who I gel with the most. I think there's a site for everything now, isn't there?
There is. You can look on. There's over 2,500 registered online sites and apps. So I would say two things. I mean, typically, OkCupid might be better for you if you're kind of more hip, cool, designer-y. But, okay, so try that. And number two, what I would say is maybe artist person who just texted us, you might have dated some salespeople that weren't for you, but I call that mistake correlation versus causation. Mm-hmm. Just because someone was in sales and they weren't good for you or they were rude doesn't mean that all salespeople are. So open up your filter. Common interests aren't essential to have a good, deep relationship.
I forget that you use those big words. Your background's in business and finance, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes, that's what I've forgotten about that. Okay. Well, that's helpful. That totally is. Let's, we're going to just take a moment here away from Bella Gandhi. She's the founder of Smart Dating Academy, to tell us what to do, mistakes people make after dating, after divorce, and when you enter into the dating pool again. Then plus, we also have this emotional letter from a mom blogger to Vanessa Bryant, Kobe's wife, about her loss that has gone viral today. What about it that is, it's very emotional, but what about it that really kind of breaks through the noise? And then also a new dating term, snowmanning. Snowmanning, what the heck is snowmanning? Bella Gandhi explains, coming up. Okay, we continue here with Bella Gandhi, founder of Smart Dating Academy, and we're talking about relationships and some issues that have come up in the news. And one of the things that often comes up is the biggest dating mistakes people make after getting divorced. So you've been in a relationship for a while, things didn't work out for you at some point, and I don't know what point that is or when you recommend, but maybe it's when you feel like it, you start getting back into the dating pool, and those kinds of people can make some mistakes. Bella, do you find that with your clients?
Absolutely. I think when people have, you know, I think one of the biggest mistakes that people make after divorce is kind of related to each other. It's about the amount of time. Some people haven't processed it. They're not over it. They haven't done the work, and they jump right back into the dating pool, or then with too much time. There are people that wait 10 or 20 years before they get back into the dating pool. So you don't want to do it too
quickly. Why is it too much time? Maybe that's, I mean, you know, sometimes you just don't feel like it until that much time.
You know, and usually if you don't feel like it, you haven't processed it yet,
mm-hmm.
right? Most people do feel like dating once they've really healed from their divorce. And if you've got all that anger for that long, there's still some work to be done.
Okay, fair enough. So what other mistakes did people make then when they were trying to get into it, back into the game? It feels as if, you know, you sometimes you mentioned something earlier that you just kind of think everyone is your ex, or you're sort of going back to that kind of person that didn't work out for you for the first, in the first place.
Yeah.
And why is that? That seems pretty complex.
It is complex. I mean, what people do is they'll put all that baggage from their previous relationship onto the present person. So let's say, for example, you were in a relationship or married to someone who was cheating on you and they lied to you, right? So now you have so much hurt, rightfully, right? And maybe just you're scared, and you bring all of that to a new relationship where someone might really love you, might really want to be there for you, but you can't fully invest yourself because you're looking at him through the same lenses that you looked at your ex. Like, yeah, right. When's the other shoe going to drop? Cheater. Right. And so, and so thinking that everybody is like your last ex that didn't work out for you is not a good strategy. It won't lead you to a happy relationship.
So you're supposed to start with like a clean slate and just say, hey, okay, I'm going to let this person prove themselves to me, kind of thing. You know, walk into it.
Yeah.
Both eyes open, but still, you are who you are. You're not him.
Yeah, you want to know what the red flags are, right? And you want to trust your gut also. But, you know, from as much as you can, you want to leave people innocent until proven guilty.
Okay. That's hard to do, but yes. Okay. I understand that. Unintentionally holding on to your baggage. You talked about that as well, because that's the other thing you got to watch out for.
Yeah. And those rebound relationships are tough, guys. I mean, if you just find yourself to be that person, and there's so many people out there that are terrified of being alone, and you just go guy to guy or girl to girl because you just don't want to sit there and actually be with yourself, that is a recipe potentially for another dating or marital disaster.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Snowmanning. This is our new dating term. You always introduce us to these things that are so, they're fascinating. Some of them, the dating world is tricky, of course. This is one of those terms. Snowmanning, Bella. What is it's when you what? You when you kind of need someone over the holidays, and you need someone over New Year's Eve, and you want to kind of have someone to get you through that time. But right about now on the calendar, it's not working out anymore.
Yeah, Olaf starts to melt right after that. For those of you who are parents of young kids like Anna and I are.
Right.
Yeah,
let it go.
Somebody that you pick up during the holidays to get you through the tough time. And then, you know, the heat starts to dissipate and the snowman just disappears when it gets hot. So that's it. It's basically over before it started. That's snowmanning.
Yeah, apparently more women are guilty of doing this than men. So like, women feel like they need to go to the parties or something and have somebody
have
over the holidays.
Like Mr. Right Now instead of Mr. Right. Mr. Right Now is the snowman.
Is the snowman. It's Olaf. Okay, so you're getting rid of Olaf right now. Okay, so we're approaching Valentine's Day. What is less than a month now? It's a couple weeks. Only two weeks?
Oh my gosh. Today.
I forgot where we are in the calendar.
Two weeks today. We'll be on Valentine's Day.
So do you find that there's a jump in people right about now trying to find somebody for that day, just like you've talked about that before the holidays is another thing?
Well, it's still the midst of peak dating season, right, which starts the day after Christmas and officially ends at Valentine's Day. So that wave is still high, lots of people in the online dating scene, so it's still pretty, there's lots of fish in the sea, guys. There's lots of fish in Lake Michigan here for you Chicagoans and suburbanites. So get yourselves out there, and maybe you might have a date date for the day before Valentine's Day.
Yeah, you know, you say that so many people do find each other online these days. It's more common than face-to-face, but there are ways to get out in the winter and just sort of make yourself out there, because it's sort of a numbers game in some ways, isn't it?
It is 100% a numbers game, right? And I don't care where you meet someone. If you meet them online, if you meet them at, you know, the Millennium Park skating rink, if you meet them at a meetup group at the Art Institute, it doesn't matter, but you have to start to put yourself out there in some ways. You have to change what you're doing in order to see different results in the dating world.
This is interesting. A poll, 2,000 Americans, they found Valentine's Day tops their list of favorite holidays over Christmas. 81% say they're more excited about Valentine's Day than Christmas, which I'm sort of surprised by. It just feels as if Valentine's Day is one of those days that, I don't know, it can become routine if you've been in a relationship for a long time, or it can become kind of, full of expectations if you're not.
You know, I think people just are so stressed out by Christmas right now and the December holidays with all the retailization
it's
and the
stressful.
Gifts.
Yeah.
I certainly am. I'll raise my hand to that, you know, holidays like Thanksgiving or Valentine's Day seem to be a little bit easier on us than those big holidays. And just from a retail dollar standpoint, Valentine's Day as a holiday in the United States is the second largest spend in the country. Because if you think about it, we're not only sending Valentines to our significant others or husbands or wives, but also think about children to their teachers, children to classes, friends. So many singles want to spend the holiday with Valentine's Day with their pets. I think the study said 28% of singles are like, I'm going to spend it with my pet, right? And so people are gifting each other. So Valentine's Day is just fun. It's easy. And you don't, even if you've got a new relationship right now, you don't need to break the bank in order to make someone feel special on Valentine's Day.
Right. 630, I met while playing pickleball.
Okay.
So they got out and played pickleball, and that's how they met.
Best pickleball game ever.
How about it? That's, you know, it is fascinating. I always love hearing the stories of how people meet. For a few years in a row, I went to Holy Name Cathedral, where they have that service for people who've been together for 50 years plus, and that they met there. And honestly, a lot of cases, it was really quite simple. That's what would always, it always struck me when I interviewed them time after time over and over again, that it's just like, you know, I was on the dance floor, I saw her, I thought she was cute, and I asked her to dance, and that was it. We were together. And it was so funny to see how complicated things can become.
Yeah.
And how simple things also can really be.
That's true.
Do you try to tell people to kind of break it down and make it more simple? Or what do you tell people just kind of a general outlook?
Yeah, ultimately, the dating world is no different than anything else. It's like job search, right? You have to create options. You have to create some choices. You have to put yourself out there, interview for a bunch of jobs to hopefully narrow it down to maybe 3 or 4 job offers so that you can pick the right one. And dating is no different, right? The mistakes that people make, it's like, imagine just walking into one place, interviewing for a job, and then taking it when you haven't looked at anything else. Nobody would do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in the dating world, sometimes we tend to do that. We tend to go, okay, I want to be one and done. I'm going to meet a person and I'm going to see where it goes. No, you want to create those options in there, because when you have options, you date better. You're more objective. You don't let all the narcissists in through the cracks.
Options, yes.
Options are key in life, including in the dating world. But again, you don't want to create so many options that you become paralyzed, right? It's like that old study. I'm going to get back to my nerdy finance roots. Like when you've got 70 different types of jelly in a grocery store, you just look at them and you walk by. But if there's 3 different kinds of jelly, like apple, strawberry, and grape, you're going to pick one.
That's very true. You're just like done. Or you got to get somewhere. You're like, okay, I got it.
Right.
I figured it out.
So create enough. You need enough jelly. You've got to have three little tubs of jelly to at least make a choice. So let's look at the dating world. Get 3 bottles of jelly.
3 bottles of jelly. Okay, you're breaking it down easily for us all. Bella, were you always good at the matchmaking, even like when you were in college and beyond? Was this just something that you, because you obviously were set off in life to do the finance thing, but you chose this path and you've never been happier. I know that after talking to you for a long time and being close with you, but did you always sort of have this skill?
Yeah, actually, it came out. We were talking about Andrea Darlis, who is a great friend of mine from the University of Illinois. And the first person that I matchmade and had that, like, I know who you're going to marry moment was someone that went to Illinois with me that was my roommate. And Andrea knows her too. And I had to work on her and this guy for 5 years to go out on one date. And as soon as they did, I told them, one date and you're going to fall in love with each other. And they did. And they've now, they just celebrated their 20 20th wedding anniversary.
Now,
and they
how
have three kids and they live in Glenview.
See, it all worked out, but they just weren't interested in each other and you had to convince them both?
Yeah, they just had other boyfriends and girlfriends, and I was like, just, you need to go out on a date, like, without other people. Like, playing Tetris with eight people doesn't count.
Yeah, so, in college, that's what people do.
That's what people did.
You know.
And then there were many other people that I matched up, and I was giving dating advice to all of my friends, and so I became known as the dating oracle, so...
There you go.
That's what put me into this 10 years ago. Best decision ever.
Smart Dating Academy. It's Bella Gandhi. Get in touch with her if you think you could use some help in that world. And thank you for being here, Bella. We love seeing you. Have a good weekend, all right?
You too.
Andrea Darlis, speaking of, she'll be coming up here right after the break here on WGN Radio. Stay with us. It's Anna DeVlantis here on the Skyline Studios, along with, look who is here, Walk of Famer, friendly, familiar voice to all of us here at WGN Radio. Andrea Darlis, how the heck are you?
Hey, happy Friday, happy Super Bowl weekend. A lot going on this weekend.
If there is, and a lot going on in your life. You moved on to the University of Illinois, where you work for the communications department. You had the chancellor himself in with me a couple days ago.
The chancellor was on with you. He loved his interview with you. We talked all about the power of I and the big unveil. We came straight from the airport with the big unveil of the
huge, eye sculpture. Literally an I, the letter I.
Yes.
Out at O'Hare now.
It's
Terminal
3? Yep, Terminal 3. So as you walk in, you can't miss it. It's right next to Starbucks and Great American Bagel. So you can't miss it there.
Popular stops.
Can't miss
you know,
it there.
Right?
And alums are already going through. It's part of our Power of I marketing campaign that just started this week. And we came right from the airport to the Anna DeVlantis Show.
Thank you. I appreciate you making that stop. And then the idea there behind the eye, explain that, Andrea, because people are going to see it and be like, okay, there's a big eye there.
Right. So that's basically just reestablishing the university's presence in Chicago, because we have 150,000 alums living and working in Chicago, more than any Big Ten university in the closest proximity to the major city in which they graduated from. And, you know, our alums, as in Mrs. Bella Gandhi.
Another U of I person here.
We've
got two alums in the studio.
Yeah, that's how we met. Bella and I met in school.
You did.
We can't tell any of those stories,
though.
But
I knew you both independently, and then I realized that you were so connected. It's pretty cool.
Do you know how we all met? We met you. Can I tell this story?
Please do.
I'm not sure.
We met you before... Well, I've known you forever, Anna,
right?
Because when you worked at Channel 5 and I was here. So we've known each other, and then I've known Bella since we were in school together. But Bella's husband, who's the sweetest man, Andy, was throwing her a surprise birthday party. We'll call it 30. Was it 30, Bella?
I don't know. It might have been 21.
Yeah.
So 3 years ago.
It was yesterday, actually.
So he was throwing her a birthday party. And Bella had just started Smart Dating Academy and was doing all these media hits, appearances, is what we call them, hits.
Hits.
So Andy contrived this big fake email to try to get Bella. It was supposed to be she gets to meet Anna DeVlantis and Susan Carlson. I think those were the two names on there. So you guys were like the lure to get Bella to this restaurant.
To a fundraiser.
To
or
a
something.
Fundraiser. Yeah. And it was like Anna DeVlantis completely misspelled at AOL.com. You know, so it was a fake email, so Bella couldn't email you.
Oh, he made up a fake email. Oh my gosh,
yeah,
that's hilarious.
But yeah, like, you were the draw to get her to the restaurant.
Well, I'm glad he did that.
Isn't that great? And then you met
and here we
shortly
are.
Thereafter, and now we're all friends.
The rest is history, and I'm happy we all met. It's the connectivities of us humans.
I love that.
And
I
love it, too.
It's karma.
It is karma. Yeah.
Andrea, you have come prepared, and we've been teasing this a lot through the show, so we got to make sure we deliver on this.
Yes.
Because there are a number of University of Illinois alums in the news.
Yes.
And there is even a Super Bowl connection.
Yes, there is.
Which someone did point out earlier when we were mentioning the whole connection with Jimmy Garoppolo being from Arlington Heights, and we had Robbie Gould here as a Bear, and there are a couple of other sort of like in the coaching staffs and things like that. There are some other connections to Chicago, but there's a U of I connection.
There is a U of I connection. Well, everybody knows the name Nick Allegretti, who's playing for the Kansas City Chiefs. His father, Carl, who many of us know from Chicago, from the business world, is a bigwig at Deloitte. And so Nick Allegretti, his family calls him Nicky, and he's a University of Illinois grad, rookie offensive lineman for the Kansas City Chiefs,
nice.
And also a Southside guy. So he went to Lincoln Way. It's Lincoln Way East now. When I was in the South Suburbs, I went to Andrew.
Uh-huh.
And it was like Lincoln Way, Andrew, and it was just this thick of West conference. Well, now there's four. I think there were four different Lincoln Ways. Now there are three. So he went to, I believe, Lincoln Way East. So he's a Southside guy.
How about that?
Born and raised in Frankfurt. So, yeah, he's a pure Southside now Chicago and University of Illinois Super Bowl playing. Nikki Allegretti.
Just amazing. We were up. There's also, someone told me, San Francisco running back Tevin Coleman is an Oak Forest High School grad.
Yes.
Isn't that cool? And then there is a Rogers Parker also playing in the Super Bowl this year, too. So we've got a few of them there.
How cool is that?
It
is. They're all doing watch parties. And they, I mean, how proud. I mean, it's the Super Bowl.
Can you imagine the parents? Just be like, oh, my gosh, chills. All right, so some other things here. This is another University of Illinois alum is making news, and I think we have some audio of this. This is Elon Musk. He did go to the University of Illinois. He's done a lot with his life. Briefly, but you still count him.
Yeah.
He's still in the alumni newsletter. Billionaire, entrepreneur, you know him, the space traveler. He's a Tesla founder, and he just dropped a new wave techno music track. Okay, so there he is, Elon Musk, trying his hand at EDM music.
I kind of like that.
It was amazing.
I was
dancing right here.
We should probably ask Jasmine. I mean, she's got, come on, for real. Thumbs up, thumbs down.
It was good.
You like it?
It was good.
See?
You're good with
it? I go by my young millennial friend here who knows... You do. I was asking her
Jasmine
for club
does know
advice
that.
Earlier, too. I'll tell you about that later.
So would Elon Musk music, do you think, Jazz, get played in a club?
I think so. I think it's going to be good.
Okay. I think it's pretty good. All right, now here's the cool tie-in to this story. So at the University of Illinois, they're starting a new class and a new program. Now, I know you have a young daughter, and I know you have two children, so I'm putting on the heavy... U of I, go ILLINI.
Swag,
but
swag, swag.
Professors are using what they're calling a hip-hop bus, and they're going to actually have classes on this bus. It's called the Double Dutch Boom Bus, and it's going to be taking to the roads, rather, to teach kids in Champaign-Urbana all about music. This is spearheaded by a professor, William Patterson, and he said they were trying to figure out how to use hip-hop to engage young people today. He's a professor at FAA, Fine and Applied Arts and Engineering, and he's been working on answering this question, he said, for 10 years. He finally might have the answer on wheels. So he's going to take the legacy of black music, reggae, African-American, R&B music, all to this class to talk about engineering and technology. And how about this tie-in? They're going to use STEM technology as the model for how you can use hip-hop to engage young people.
I bet
that
is going to be so
obsessed.
Popular.
I want to take that class.
I want to go. Can I come down
I
again?
Know. Hey, you know what? You spoke at Geese. You could speak, you know, and kick off this class.
Oh, my God. I say a hip, a hop. Okay.
It's interesting because it's like those kinds of classes are just so, they seem like they're the ones that fill up and everybody, you know, you can't get into them.
Right. I mean, this is very cool. So it's engineering, it's STEM, and it's for music lovers, too.
Love.
So I think it's kind of cool.
Love.
Tomlinson, that was the name I was trying to think of. Thank you to the texter. He's the one from Rogers Park whose Jamaican mother said he was really big and he needs to play football, marched him over to Lane Tech High School and sort of started his career right here in the Chicago area. And look at him now. He's playing.
He went to Lane Tech?
Went to Lane Tech High School.
That's your alma mater.
That
isn't
is
it?
Go Lane Go. So very cool. All kinds of things. It's not just U of I people who do things that are great.
I know.
Just so you know,
Go Lane Go.
And what
CBS?
It's amazing, isn't it? And we have the former Lincoln Way East player. So now we have the Rogers Parker. I hope we're not forgetting anybody. If we are, please let us know.
So.
I think we've covered a lot of ground.
Yeah,
a lot of ground with that. And then we've got the Elon Musk doing his thing. Course. Does he make the newsletter at all? Because he's doing something really crazy and big all the time.
You know, it's just so, what I'm super psyched about is that this week we just announced the commencement speaker is the United States women's soccer coach. So
nice.
Saw that.
Very cool.
That is really cool. I mean, it's like every year you get somebody great, but it's so cool to get somebody like that.
Okay, do you know who spoke at my graduation?
You remember?
I do, because it was Hillary Clinton.
Oh, my gosh.
So, isn't that cool?
Amazing.
Was she your speaker, too?
No. No.
You were
I don't even
me.
Remember.
Your head. Was. Yeah.
I don't remember either, to be honest.
Hillary Clinton.
We didn't really get a really memorable one. It's such a hard audience, anyway, to speak to graduating seniors at a university, right?
Oh,
you're all
yeah.
pumped, and you just want to get to the party and stuff like that.
Right?
You have to be pretty compelling, I think, to break through some of that noise.
I think so too. Yeah, we were super psyched that Jill Ellis, that was a big ask, too, because obviously she's got, little old thing called the Olympics that they're all going for. Yeah, so she, obviously the most wins in U.S. soccer history. She will be speaking at the commencement ceremony on May 16th.
How cool is that?
What a great get.
Yes.
Isn't that great? And I was so happy. I was telling Anna this, too. So we got, it was such a, you know, a hashtag girl power kind of a year, you know, with Time Person of the Year and then Megan Rapinoe with Sport with Athlete of the Year. And I think Lizzo got Rolling Stones.
And Billie Eilish.
And Billie Eilish.
Yeah, at the Grammys. I mean,
don't you
can
love
forget.
Billie Eilish?
I think she's just introduced, she has such a unique sound, and she's introduced so many people to this music that.
She's so good. Youngest.
She's 17.
And
now.
She's just a really young kid, and
youngest
think
female.
About the promising future ahead of her.
Yep.
All right, we've got a number of things to get to. Bella and Andre, we stick around for our trending topics. Steve Bertrand and. Also, we've got Lauren Lapka often step into the studio for this, and we've got a number of things to talk to, including scanner traffic. Now, you've worked on this as a news person, as I have in this town, and so often the scanner traffic, especially if you work overnights or something, it just makes you realize what cops have to deal with and the nonsense. I mean, aside from the crimes and the real stuff they have to deal with, the nonsense. And this one was trending today. We'll bring it to you, in addition to some Super Bowl stuff that's trending as well, as you might imagine. Coming up, also Kobe. Some people are honoring him in some really unique ways. More to come here on WGN Radio. Stay with us. It's Anna DeVlantis here on WGN Radio. 2:45 is the time. This is the time we talk about trending topics, things that people share and care about here in the Chicago area. And in studio with us, we've got quite the cast today because it's a Friday afternoon, and we're just happy you're all here. Steve Bertrand is here. Lauren Lapka is here. Andre Darlis has stayed over, and Bella Gandhi, too. So let's have at it. Scanner traffic. You guys are all familiar with the scanner traffic and the things that tend to come up on the scanner traffic. So it's kind of a reminder of that what police have to deal with in our city, especially overnight and the late night hours, because aside from the real problems and the crime and that kind of thing, there's a lot of nonsense on our streets. And this is a prime example of all of that. Dispatcher, woman is calling at State and Randolph. There's a man singing depressing Sam Smith covers very loudly, and she wants to file a complaint.
I hope they arrested that guy.
I mean,
I hope
but
so
was
too.
He good?
Yeah. Depressing. Well, they're all kind of depressing, aren't they, Sam
Smith?
Yeah,
a little bit. Yeah. My favorite thing to do on St. Patrick's Day is go through the blotter.
Oh yeah.
The calls that day are ridiculous, and they're about every second.
It's like, man on the roof of Irish restaurant, please remove him. Or
tiny leprechaun puking on North Avenue.
Right.
All kinds of crazy
man
stuff.
Man walks into lake, didn't know it was there. I mean, it really is. You're right. That police blog is just the funniest thing ever. Okay, about this. Who's going to win the Super Bowl? Who do you think?
49ers.
49ers really? Are favored,
yeah.
Right?
Well, I don't think they are the favorite, are they?
Now, the Chiefs?
I think they're favored by like one or two.
It's been changing,
yeah.
Yeah.
I'll go Chiefs just because they're
favored.
Well, you might in proximity to Chicago.
If you're going to bet, guys, you might want to bet on Fiona the Hippo, because Fiona has a really great history of predicting these kinds of things. She's one of the prognosticators that people look to from the Cincinnati Zoo. And she...
How?
I'm going to just ask you.
They put like little treats for her, one of each team. You know, she's like, she attempted to make the Super Bowl pick, and then she picked Kansas City.
So it's not like hippo bingo or something like that.
It's not too complicated, but she's got a good track record. So, you know, she's only been doing it for a couple of years, but she's correctly predicted the right team to win the Super Bowl. And she's got the Kansas City Chiefs.
I'm all about Team Fiona.
Yeah.
I already had the Chiefs, so I'm happy to hear that.
What better way to pick your team and put your money down than listening to that? We heard this earlier in the show today. The University of Kansas students, did you hear what they're doing? Because the Chiefs are playing the Super Bowl, they're all going to be watching. They're all going to be partying. So their student senate and the student council in general passed a resolution last night asking the school to cancel classes on Monday. It said the health and safety of the students is at risk.
It's very dramatic. Something that would never happen at the University of Illinois.
Never.
Let me just put that out there.
Student body would be woefully negligent of its duty to represent the student body if not advocating for this to happen because of the celebrations that may occur should the Kansas City Chiefs emerge victorious And they also asked for barf bags. They said when the Royals won the World Series, I guess, in 2015, right? Okay, so they said after that happened, there was vomit everywhere. And, ugh, quote, gross. I hate to say this, people were vomiting in their backpacks, and this is a health issue. Again, very dramatic, but they'd like them to put barf bags throughout campus so that those are available should the Chiefs win.
That is how I would lose points, though.
That would never happen at certain
Illinois. Yeah, I would definitely just lose points and not go to class.
I know. It's like, oh, gosh, imagine if you see just barf everywhere. That would not be fun, so I kind of understand that piece of it. The off of school, I don't think that's going to work, but we'll wait to see that. James Corden, you know him from the Carpool Karaoke, the late show host, and he kind of got outed. Did you see that? Where they showed video of him being pulled by a trailer during Carpool Karaoke. He wasn't really driving. And people are like, what? You don't really drive during that? And he got upset about it. He kind of responded to it. And he said that it's a little bit of a scandal. I often do drive. But yes, in that case, I was not driving.
I think it was funny. He said something to the effect of, I never thought I could do anything that would make people madder at me than making cats.
Oh, right. I forgot about that. This is eclipsed cats.
I don't know.
It's, have you seen it? The viral video, I haven't seen cats, but that is universally panned, right? Yeah. Nobody likes cats. But so he's just apologizing for all the harm he caused people by getting pulled by a trailer during Carpool Karaoke. On a related note, Meghan Trainor, you know her, she was involved in Carpool Karaoke. She was in the car with him. I don't know if it was being pulled or if he was driving. That part isn't really material to the story. But she went fangirl nuts when they pulled up to meet someone who is somebody she just super loves. And this is a little surprising, but here it is. Here's some audio from that.
Now, you're about to go on tour with Maroon 5.
Yeah.
But, it's going to be incredible. How does it come about? Hey, can I get a ride?
Tell who it is.
No.
Dr. Phil.
Oh, my gosh.
Dr. Phil?
Oh, he's the fan?
No, she's the fan of his.
Oh, my gosh.
You're kidding.
She was, I don't know, she freaked out. She was like, I guess they figured out that she really kind of likes Dr. Phil. And, you know,
of everybody to have come out and surprise you.
No.
Yeah.
Can I just say she wasn't really high on my list before this?
No. Did she go down or up?
Oh, down.
Way down. Way down.
Yeah.
I worship Dr. Base. Phil.
Yeah.
That's what she said. I worship him. And so they exchanged pleasantries, and she was super excited. This is pretty touching. LeBron James, Anthony Davis, they are honoring Kobe Bryant by getting new tattoos. Both got them on their legs, and they are different things about Kobe. One, I think LeBron has a snake for the Black Mamba with the number 24 to honor him. And Anthony Davis also is getting a tattoo. Anthony Davis has Chicago ties, of course. He's a charter school graduate from here, big superstar in the NBA. But both of them, that's the way they chose to honor Kobe
Bryant. I've seen a fair amount of Kobe tattoos being posted online, some full body ones, some that are really, really bad, too.
Wait, full body?
Yeah,
you do his
like
face?
A whole back kind of thing, like his whole body kind of silhouetted.
So you got like a little Kobe on your back?
Yeah, like people have all of Kobe on their backs. Some look good. Some look really
bad. It's like Kazoo from the Flintstones.
It's crazy. If you look online for Kobe tattoos now, it is crazy.
That is, wow. I did not see that. Didn't know that was a thing. Well, how about this? A California couple used a lawnmower and a GPS to create a giant grass mural of Kobe Bryant. You should look it up online. It's a pretty, it's like very detailed, extremely creative. They just decided it's a 90-foot wide mural that they cut into their grass field in Pleasanton, California. They have the whole body again. It's really, I mean, it's amazing to see what the fans are doing to honor him. The NBA All-Star Game, that's going to be here in Chicago, and they are trying to decide some of the changes that they'll make to honor Kobe as well. They're going to have some donations to charity is one thing. They've got, you know, all kinds of, you know, you think about just the whole tone of the event. I guess, you know, it really changes, right? I mean, everyone participating in it is going to be maybe kind of marking that moment in different ways and thinking about them.
You know what they said? Is this true, Lauren? They said they were going to have commemorative jerseys with all of the lot, like the red line,
yes,
the pink line,
that's true,
the blue line. That's going to be cool.
they're going to be used for different parts of the
like
weekend, but the main, the two main ones are going to be the red and the blue.
Okay,
so,
cool.
Yeah.
That's kind of neat.
That is cool. So yeah, they'll have a new fourth quarter. They're going to be doing something for Kobe.
That's nice.
As you'd expect. Yeah. You would expect that. The Atlantic, did you hear this? Our former mayor, Rahm Emanuel, he is knocked off the masthead as a contributing editor. Some other staffers complained. African-American staffers said that they didn't want him on the masthead. They said he could still write for it, but that they thought after they pointed to the Laquan McDonald incident and said that that was something that they thought they didn't like, that he was part of the team of the like official editors of the Atlantic. So they kicked him off.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting. They went to Jeffrey Goldberg, the editor-in-chief, and said, look, this isn't a partisan thing or anything like that, but at this time, this guy presided over a pretty nasty chapter in Chicago, and maybe it's not good for us to have him on top of the on the mast.
Yeah, I mean, they had a point, and they listened. They said that it was the cover-up and the facts and the video of the incident, how it took so long to surface. It was a pretty detailed complaint. As you pointed out, Steve, they said not partisan, nothing against him as a person or a politician, but those were their objections, and they listened to it. So there you go. He's still writing, though. You'll still see his op-ed pieces there, but that was a big change. All right, that's going to wrap up Trending Topics. Thanks, guys. Good to see all of you. Yeah. Thank you, Bella. Thank you, Andrea. We'll
Thank
see
you
Anna. Soon.
Thank you.
The news is coming up next right here on WGN from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.